All right, we're studying the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the uncovering of Jesus Christ. It's an uncovering that shows us Jesus Christ, and especially in His second coming, when He comes back again. He came the first time as a lamb. He's coming the second time as a lion, and He is coming. Came the first time to be judged for our sins and take the penalty for our sin to save us. When He comes the second time, He's going to come to judge those that have not accepted Him as their Savior, and He's going to come and pour out His wrath. And so we need to understand that this is a revelation that involves the wrath of God. And that's why we've been looking at, in the book of Revelation, this scroll, because this scroll contains the wrath of God. When Jesus Christ comes back again, He's coming back to judge this world and to pour out His judgment. And some people think God has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, He was a God of judgment. In the New Testament, He's a God of love. No, He's both a God of judgment and a God of love. If you accept Jesus Christ, you receive the love of God and the forgiveness of God. But if you don't accept Him as your Savior, God will judge you. And hell is real, and the judgment of God is real, and it is coming in the future. The Bible says that. And so we need to be sobered by these things and to realize that this is a revelation of the wrath of God. And God says that there are certain events that must come before the wrath of God. And these are called the what in the book of Revelation? They're on this scroll. Cynthia. Yes, they're called the seals that seal up the wrath of God. And before the wrath of God is released, these seals must be opened. And we already studied those in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. And they are prior events that will happen during what period of time? They'll happen during the 7 years predicted in Daniel before the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But what part of that 7 years records the prior events? Well, that's kind of a hard question because they go right through the 7 years until part of the second half of the 7 years. So I guess that's not fair to say that. But anyway, this scroll, when the seals are opened, this scroll will be opened, and then the wrath of God will be poured out. And the wrath of God is not seven seals, but the wrath of God contained in the large scroll here is announced by seven what? What announces the wrath of God? Seven what? Not seals. What is it? Raise your hand if you know. Brother Bob Ajeski.
Seven angels which blow seven trumpets.
Yes, seven angels blowing seven trumpets. So the wrath of God is announced by angels and meted out by angels of God, but it is God's wrath, and it is supernaturally poured out upon the earth during the time of the second trumpet. Seven trumpet judgments, all right? And we've looked at that, and we've looked at a number of these. We won't review these. Let me just say one thing about that and ask you, what is the key element that God uses to judge the world with the wrath of God? What is it? Marion? Very good. It's fire. He destroyed the world the first time with water in the flood of Noah. The second time is going to be by fire, and there's going to be these fiery judgments that are poured out. And God is a God who is a consuming fire, and fire is what God uses to judge. And so that's going to happen. Now, we looked at these different fiery judgments, and we see they get worse and worse. And two of the judgments weren't by fire. One of those two we looked at last week, I believe, and that was the locust that would be released from the center of the earth, from hell. And who are these locusts? They have hair like women, they sting, and they will sting people for 5 months. Who are they, Marion? They're demons. And can you tell me anything about those demons, Denny?
They're fallen angels.
That's right. They're fallen angels, and they followed Satan. And before the time of Noah, they cohabited with women and committed sin and defiled the earth. and therefore they were incarcerated in hell. Demons aren't in hell, they run around. Demons have access to heaven, they can be in outer space, they can walk in the earth. They're not in hell, but these demons were put in hell because they appeared in the form of men and had relations with women and defiled the whole planet, and God had to judge the earth. And so the Bible talks about that, and these demons are going to be released. Sounds like science fiction, it's just horrendous. They're going to be released during the wrath of God, and they are the trumpet judgment number five. And these judgments, the trumpet judgments, 5, 6, and 7, they're called what? Three what? There's a name given to the last three trumpet judgments, and this one is a real bad one. Number 5, and then 6, and then 7. I think we looked at 5 last week. Brother Bob, what are they called?
They're called the three woes.
The three woes. So it's woe, 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 and it's really bad. And so now we're going to look at chapter 9. We're going to look at the second woe, which is the sixth trumpet judgment. And look what it says in verse 12. It says, and one woe is past. That's the 5 months with these demons stinging people. And behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And then it says, verse 13, and the sixth angel, chapter 9, verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, this is in heaven, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. All right? And then it says, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. Now, these four angels are under the Euphrates, and they are incarcerated there, like these demons are incarcerated in hell. And remember, in the fifth seal, or the fifth trumpet, excuse me, we just had these demons let out of hell, and this angel lets them out of hell. He opens the key to the bottomless pits. Now you have another angel that has the power to loose four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. All right, now, when you think of these four angels that are bound in the river Euphrates, why do you think they're there? Are they good angels? What would you think if they're bound underneath the river or in the river Euphrates? What kind of angels would they be? Brother Bob?
They're demons that have received only the partial judgment of God.
They're demons of what?
Demons that received only the partial judgment.
Yeah. All right. And so these demons are associated with the river Euphrates. By the way, do you know what area of the world that is where the Euphrates River runs? Cynthia? Iraq. It's a center of evil. See, a lot of people don't understand that. Iraq is the center of world evil. It's the center of Satan's activity. You see, when you deal with Iraq and you go over into Iraq, you're dealing with the center of Satan's kingdom. Okay? And we can get into that. And I believe that these demons are associated with that. Does anybody know where the first great rebellion took place after the flood of Noah? Where it took place and what that rebellion was and who was the leader of that rebellion. Does anybody know about that in the book of Genesis? Bob Watson?
Babylon?
Yes. The city of Babylon. You've heard of the Tower of Babel. And what was the Tower of Babel? Well, it was a rebellion of man against God after the flood. You see, after the flood, people got together and they said, we are going to create a one world peace. We're going to have peace on earth, and we are going to be powerful, and we're going to build a tower that reaches up to heaven, and we're going to establish a name for ourselves, and we're going to have a one world government. You could call it the United Nations. That's when it started, right after the flood. The head of that was a man by the name of what? Bobby?
Nimrod.
Nimrod. And he had a wife called Semiramis, a very beautiful woman, a very wicked woman. And they got together and they had this great kingdom, and they had a religious worship that was false religion. They had their one world religion and everybody believed in it. They had this tower, they had one world government, and all their finances were together. And at that time, there were nobody speaking Spanish or English or German or French. Everybody spoke one language, probably was Hebrew. All right, but everybody spoke one language. And so they were able to get together. Now, I said this was a rebellion. What did God tell them to do after the flood? Very important you understand this. What did God tell them to do after the flood? Cynthia?
Scatter.
Spread out. Do not all get together. You know, it's like I say about pastors. Pastors are like manure. They're only good if you spread them out, you know. Don't put them all in one place. Well, God said spread out, because if you get together and you get your heads together and you get too close to one another, you're going to get into trouble. By the way, you'll do that if you hang around with the wrong crowd. You hang around with that beer-drinking crowd. You hang around with that, and it might be nice people, but if they're worldly people, they do not have the values of the Bible here. They will rob you of your reward, and they will spoil your fruit, and they will taint everything you do. You've got to separate yourself. You've got to separate yourself. God said, I am no dummy. I know how you are. If you get together and you hang together, you are going to do evil. And so I want you spread out. God is for nationalism. God wants nations. Have you ever noticed? I noticed this in the Saddleback Forum. Barack Obama and John McCain. I must say, when Barack Obama was asked about fighting evil in the world, he hastened to say it should be done always with, not always, he said, but he would prefer it be done by the United Nations. By the United Nations. Now, let me tell you something. God's plan is not for the United Nations. All right? God doesn't want the United Nations strengthened. That is not his plan. Because when the United Nations comes together, we might think that's going to bring in peace, but that is going to bring in the wrong kind of peace. It is not God's kind of peace. And when the world got together over there in Babylon on the Euphrates River and built the Tower of Babel, God got angry. He said, no, I don't want this done. And I don't know for sure, but I believe these four angels may have been four wicked angels that helped to get the four corners of the earth together and put them together into one world government. And God said, not only am I going to judge man, but I'm going to put these guys right here to show that I am against that, and they will not be released until my wrath is poured out, until I finally judge the world. That's just a good theory. But I am saying to you that this thing about the United Nations, isn't it interesting? When was the United Nations founded? In the 20th century, at the same time that Israel became a nation, at the same time that the end times began to come together. Now the United Nations has come together once again into a one entity. Where is the United Nations centered right now? What city? Cynthia? New York City. I'm a New York Yankee fan. But I can say to you that New York City is the center of great evil. It needs the Lord. It needs the Lord. And I'm reading a book right now called Dead Heat. Does anybody have that book yet? Dead Heat? All right. Nancy got it. Have you started reading it?
No, I bought it from Mark.
He's got to read it first. All right. That book is a book about what's going to happen in America. It's a novel by Joel Rosenberg, but it's very interesting. But what I'm saying is, I believe that we are coming to this time when the United Nations is going to go to another level. It's going to go to a higher level, okay? And I personally believe this, that New York City will disappear. I believe it'll probably disappear. I believe it'll be like a nuclear bomb or something will hit New York City. It will just be gone. Now you say, that sounds crazy. Let me tell you what, there are people right now that are saying that we are going to have some of our cities just be blown up by nuclear weapons. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when it's going to happen. Okay, Cynthia?
I just saw recently in the news that they found some kind of a fault under New York City.
Interesting.
In that area, and that it could be a
interesting. Interesting. I can say about this book, Dead Heat, Joel Rosenberg, best-selling author, he writes about a scenario where this type of thing could happen to some of our cities. I'm talking about Washington, D.C., New York City, other cities, very suddenly. We in this country, I believe, are headed for judgment. And I believe that this could lead the way to this United Nations being rebuilt in Iraq on the Euphrates River. Okay, and but I want you, I want to move on from here. Look at verse 16. It says, "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number of them. By the way, that's 200 million of these horsemen." Look at verse 17. It says, "And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of hyacinth and brimstone, and heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone." And it says, "By these three, the third part of men killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads. And with them they do hurt." Now, people look at this and they think that this is a great human army. Many times, this army is spoken of as what? What do Bible scholars, many of them say this army is? 200 million. You know, that's a big army, 200 million. Where do they say that is, Brother Bob?
Many of them say it to be a Chinese or Oriental army which joins the battle of Armageddon.
That's right, a Chinese or Oriental army. The problem here is this is not during the time of the Battle of Armageddon. This is before the end of the 7 years. All right, the Battle of Armageddon will not take place till on the 30th day after the end of the 7 years. So this is not that. Now, in Revelation 16, it does talk about the kings of the east being summoned to the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I don't believe those kings of the east are there to fight the western armies like some people believe. The Occident and the Orient are going to clash. You know, China and the West are going to clash. I believe they're all there together in a one world government to fight Jesus Christ, who's coming back. I believe that China is going to unite with the West to fight Jesus in the Battle of Armageddon. But here you do not have the Battle of Armageddon. Here you have the wrath of God administered by angels, and I believe this is an angelic army. These are demons. And they are literal demons, and they are going to kill people. And so they're going to kill people, and this is going to be a time of great judgment and wrath, and God can use fallen angels to accomplish his wrath. And by the way, these demons are very hateful, and they're going to come out and show their demonic power. Now, some people believe that and this could happen. I'm not saying it will happen, but some people believe that when the beast and the Antichrist come to power, that demons are going to come and claim their people from other planets. And they're going to come and they're going to say, "We've come to help you bring peace on earth." And so they will help with one world government and all of this, and they will be demons, and they will act real friendly, and people will think, oh, these are the UFOs, and they're friendly people. I don't know if that's going to happen. It could happen. But I do know this, that these demons really are very hateful. They're very wicked. And God's going to be able to use them to judge the earth. And interesting, you followed demons, you followed Satan, and so why not let Satan deal with you? And that's what's happening here. So that's what happens here with this sixth seal, sixth trumpet, I'm sorry, that is blown. Now, I want you to notice, as you go down here to verse 20, it says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts." What does that tell you about the heart of man at this point? Marion? The hardness of the heart. Here, these people have run under the rocks and said, "Hide us from the wrath of God." But now, they have gone through the wrath of God, and their heart gets hardened. You know what this reminds me of? You ever hear of foxhole religion? Foxhole religion is a person that, when they're in a crisis, they say they're going to get right with God, and then as soon as the crisis is let up, they go right back to their sin. Their heart really is not changed. That's a scary thing. That's a picture of an unsaved heart or a very backslidden heart that you don't want to have. Because if you just keep going back when the pressure is off, that's really, really serious. And that's exactly what Pharaoh did in the Old Testament. The Bible says that God warned him through Moses. He sent a plague upon Egypt. You know, the hail fell, the darkness fell, and all that. Wow. Don't we have some hurricanes heading at the United States? Didn't a hurricane hit there just a few years ago? You know, I noticed right afterward they were trying to rebuild New Orleans and go right back to Mardi Gras again. They haven't been able to do it like they want to do it, but they're trying to get that city back up like it was. You better watch out. You better watch out. Because if you're building a city and it's wicked, you better say maybe God wants to scatter you out like he did the Tower of Babel and go other places and learn to get right with God. We are in the last days. This is no time to play. This is no time just to learn prophecy. Say, "Oh, I'm in Pastor Bloom's class. Man, I know all about prophecy." What are you doing with it? You see, is it changing your life? See, the human heart is very deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if you're saved, you have an old heart of flesh, a wicked heart, the sin nature, very hard. And you can deceive yourself. You can puff yourself up with knowledge and learn Bible facts, and at the same time be living this kind of life. And so God says when he works in a heart, that person turns from their sin. They're sad, and they're sad what their sin has done to themselves, to others, to God's name. And they turn from that, and they don't play with it, and they don't do things that will stumble others into sin. They're very careful. They work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Not these people. They are going through the judgment of God. Notice what it says, that they repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold, silver, and these idols cannot talk. Does anybody know what these idols represent that they're worshiping? They keep worshiping these idols. And it says here, when they're worshiping these idols, they're worshiping devils. The idols can't talk. But guess what? The devils can talk. Does anybody know what these idols are? They're made of different materials, and all these people have them at the end time. I believe there's a specific problem that's going on. Brother Eddie?
They're a model of the Antichrist.
Yes, that's exactly right. They're a model of the, actually, I believe it's of the Roman beast, the head of the European Union. I believe that's going to be Hitler. And it's a model of him, and they have, each one has one. Now, a poor man might have one made of wood. A rich man might have one made of gold. You notice they're made of different materials, but it doesn't matter. They all look like the same man. He's the devil's man. By the way, the devil has certain people that he uses in your life. I make no mistake to say you need to hang around the man of God. The man of God, the pastor, and I'm not saying it because I'm a pastor. I'm saying the pastor, the man that's called to God, that's a good person to get around. All right? God uses his men to do his work. But the devil uses his men to do his work. You see, the devil is going to have it that people make an idol to this man. And he's going to be a very charismatic leader and bring peace and prosperity to the world and all of this stuff. And people are going to leave their emotions. By the way, let me tell you something. Don't leave your emotions when you get thinking about Barack Obama. People get all nuts over Barack Obama. He's like a rock star. You ever notice that? Thousands of people come. Barack Obama comes. Oh, people get all excited about Barack Obama. I'm not excited about Barack Obama. I'm not excited about a guy that voted 3 times to abort babies that were outside of the womb and had survived. And he voted for them to let them die. I'm not excited about that kind of a thing, you see. I'm not excited when he was asked at Saddleback Church, he was asked, when does life begin? When does life begin? How many heard that? When does life begin? Not many of you, but you need to hear it. When does life begin? He said, that's above my pay grade. He said that, I heard it, a quote, that's above my pay grade. In other words, I cannot say when human life begins. Now, they had John McCain at the same time, and I'm not saying I agree with John McCain on everything, but I do agree with him on this. They said to John McCain, when does life begin? He said, at conception. And he said, I will be pro-life. Well, he chose the vice presidential running mate, who is a very strong pro-life lady, and she has 5 kids, and she had her 5th kid had Down syndrome, and she said, I am not aborting that baby. God does not want me to do that. I'm going to have that baby. Now, I'm just saying to you, watch out with getting all caught up with your emotions, especially you lady peoples. Because you ladies are really, that's a strength you have. You're emotional, and it can be very helpful. But you need to put that under the truth and make sure you have that good head on your shoulders. And don't go against God's word. Because if you go against God's word and you vote for somebody and they don't believe life begins at conception, or they're not going to take a stand on that, they're not going to protect people, then you are guilty of killing people. Because you put the person in there that does it, all right? Now, I'm saying to you, these folks do not repent of this. And notice they don't repent of their murders. That's abortion, by the way, verse 21. Nor of their sorceries. Anybody know what that word in the Greek is, sorceries? It's called what? Pharmakia. What does that remind you of? Pharmakia. Drugs. We are overusing drugs in our society, legally and illegally. Drugs. And if you're involved in drugs, listen to me, you are coming under the influence of Satan. It will harden your heart. It will lead you to hell. It will lead you away from God. You say, what kind of drugs, Pastor? I'm saying marijuana. I'm saying heroin. I just was at a house the other day where 2 guys that I know, these guys, got onto heroin, and they're now in jail, messed up their lives. Hardens the heart. By the way, alcohol is a drug too. Stay away from that junk. I say stay away from it! I don't care if they make the beer commercials look good when you watch your sports programs. You stay away from it. Sorceries, look not upon the wine. Don't mess with that stuff. Stay away from that stuff. And we got too many Christians, by the way, that are playing around with this kind of stuff, or professing Christians. And then it says, their fornication, sexual immorality. You know, I have a web page for the church, and I get on the web page, and they have the advertising thing on it, and they had a thing on there that said that a big thing going on right now is people giving away sex for trips. people giving away sex for trips. In other words, you take me on a free trip, I'll go on it and give away sex. And it's amazing the society that we live in right now that people promote that kind of filth and that kind of sin, and they say, hey, that's great. Why just give away sex for a meal? Why have a guy take you out and treat you to a meal, and then you know what he expects? Why just give it away for that, man? If you can get a trip, that's even better. That's the kind of society we're living in. And it's going to get worse, this idea of fornication. When I was younger, you were living in sin if you lived together without being married. Now, today, that is commonplace, accepted. It's going on all over the place. And what does that do to the children that are brought up in a situation like that? What does that do to the children? I'll tell you what, it leads them right down the road to sin. Why do you think they're STDs? It's the judgment of God. AIDS is the judgment of God. God does not like immorality. And finally, he's going to get so mad at it, he's going to burn the world up. I said, he's going to burn the world up. You say, you really believe in a God like that? You believe fire and brimstone? Yes, I do. He hasn't changed. He's against it. And so we have a situation now. Kids can click on the internet and they can get the filthiest, most vile pornography you can ever imagine just with a click on it. Just put on the search engine, I want to talk about, blah, 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 hit it, boom, boom, it's going to come right up. You know what I'm talking about. And if you're involved in it, God help your sorry soul. You're in big trouble. You need to get help. I just heard of a guy, David Duchovny, on the X-Files, checked himself in for sexual addiction. He's starring in some program called California, you know, kind of reminds you of fornication. And they said this is life imitating art. Because he's starring in a movie about that. Now he just checked himself in. That's what this is talking about right here. They didn't repent of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And they didn't repent of this. And so God is saying here that his judgment is going to fall. But let me just say this, and I'll close with this, that we live in America. We live in a place that we dwell carelessly on the aisles. And I'll tell you what, I believe that God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah that he destroyed with fire. You check it out. Go to the Dead Sea, the South Dead Sea. You don't see Sodom and Gomorrah anymore. That used to be a fertile area of great population and wealth and these rich cities. And they have the same kind of things that we have in America. And they're gone. And God would have to apologize to them if he does not send judgments upon America. And I believe before the wrath of God is going to come, there's going to be judgments on America. I believe whole cities are going to be blown up in this country. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. I could give you theories. But I believe God is the one that will allow it. Because otherwise he's got to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because I believe, from what I've studied the Bible, we are worse. We are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And so, if you're not saved, you go to Jesus and tell him, you know you're in sin and you need to be saved and accept him as your Savior. And then if you are saved, do not play with this world. You stay carefully separated from this world. Do not mess with it. Do not play with it. You're talking to a man that's been 30 years in the ministry. I've raised 6 kids. I've lived in this world. I can tell you what, it is dangerous to fiddle and faddle with the world. Very bad stuff. All right, let's bow for prayer and ask God to bless. Father in heaven, we thank you today that you've given us the future Lord, not so that we can just be smart and self-satisfied, that we know more than others, but Lord, so that we can humble ourselves before you and repent and get right with you and walk with you, Lord. We pray that we would do that when we think of Jesus and what he did for the world to save us. And Lord, we would pray that none of these things would come upon us. We would pray, Lord, that we would have the true grace of God operating in our lives and our church. And Lord, keep our church safe from the world. Keep us carefully separate. I pray especially for those of us that are in positions of responsibility, Lord, that others will look to. Keep us safe, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.